71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
For just a little while this morning, I want to speak from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I need you to get there quickly. When you have it, amen, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Begin reading now. Stop. Let's start over again. Begin now. Stop. That's good enough. You may be seated.
Yes, sir.
If.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Tell your neighbor, pastor's going to talk about if this morning. If two little letters, if, but if, as I've said before, is in the middle of life. You can't spell life without if. L-I-F-E. Life comes from God. He is the God of life. And here, just to give you context quickly, Solomon has just completed the temple of God, dedicated the temple of God, prayed over the temple of God, and before the people of God, made great sacrifices before God. And he has gone now to bed in the 7th chapter. He did all this in the 6th chapter. In the 7th chapter, he's going to sleep, and God meets him in his sleep. And I found out, my brothers and sisters, sometime that's the only place God can catch some of us. In our sleep, when we've settled down enough where he can speak and we can hear. And so he begins to say to Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, one of the things you need to know is God picks out a few points in Solomon's prayer and he reverberates them back to Solomon. I don't know if it was just to let Solomon know he heard his prayer, or that they were specific things that God wanted to address in his prayer. But Solomon was very much so aware that God had heard his prayer. And so he says, if my people, now those of you who have heard me speak from this text many times over the years know that I have gone through this text and I have broken it down as the Spirit gave me utterance on it, and I'll just walk through it for those who have never heard it before. And if you start from the beginning, if is possibility, my people is personal, which are called by my name is paternal, shall humble themselves is preparation, and pray is power, and seek my face is privilege. Turn from their wicked ways is progress. Then will I hear from heaven is procedure, and will heal, forgive their sin, that's pardon, and will heal their land, that's prosperity. Now, I need you to see something, because there are three parts to this text, this 40-word text, that I think you need to focus on. The first part has to do with God's people. God's people. The second part has to do with godless people. Godless people. And then the third part has to do with God's promises. God's promises. Now, he deals, first of all, with his people. If my people, which are called by my name. God is talking about children who bear his name. God honors his own name, and he wants his children to honor his name. We represent a holy God, an awesome God, a high and exalted, lifted up God. And he wants his children to recognize him in the earth realm as the God that he is. And when we say we belong to God, there ought to be some sign, people. You know, when a father has fathered a son or daughter, and people look at that child, even before seeing the attributes of that child, just looking at their child, of that child, they can see all of the traits of the father in them. They can see that child look so much, they'd say something like, boy, look like you spit that child out. Or, as Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen my father. Because there is such a close resemblance between the father and his children. And so we need to recognize God expects us to honor his exalted name as if we understand not only who he is, but who we are to him. He expects us who sits high and looks low, as he has placed us in the earth realm, to represent him as though we are connected to him who is above. He's made clear, listen, his name. He is something about his name, as any good father is about their name, if they're a good father. And they train and they teach their children how to act and how to behave and how to conduct themselves because those children belong to the father. And it is a show enough sign of what the father has invested or vested or instilled in the children by the way the children act, not in the father's presence, but in the presence of others. Because, you know, children always act halfway right in the parents' presence. But what the parent really needs to make sure of is when the present, the family, the parent isn't present, that the children act as if the parent were present. So he's something about his name. Matter of fact, in that sixth chapter, around the 36th or so verse, he was saying that even foreigners, even persons who were not a part of the original Israel nation, the Jewish nation, his chosen people, could still be his people if they accepted him and honored his name. And so he's something about his name. But I want you to see this word "if" is so important and prevalent all through these 40 words before us today. You will understand that when we move to the godless people, God is saying, because you are my people, I can't have you acting like you are godless people. And so he says there are four things that you need to do and be mindful of. Not only was he talking about originally the children of Israel, the Jews, God's chosen people, but he's talking about now every believer who calls on the name of the Lord. So that includes every Christian, every believer, every saint who bears the name of God. Here's what he said. First thing you need to do is humble yourself. Yeah. Humble yourself. Why do we need to humble ourselves? Because God can't do nothing with bigoted folk. He's got no time for prideful and arrogant and self-lifted folk. He wants you to know that in his presence there is no other position but humility. Right. Humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God. Why is that so important? Because that "if" word is a part of you humbling yourself for what God will do if you humble yourself. What will God do if I humble myself? I'm so glad that you asked. He will lift you when you humble yourself, and he will lift you in due season. See, when you humble yourself and say, God, I trust you. God, I wait on your timing. God, you know what's best for me. God, thy will be done. When God's timing is right for you, he will lift you up. And even many times when you're not even expecting it, the word lift, L-I-F-T, ift. If, right in the midst of lift, it's important to recognize that when God humbles you through you humbling yourself, he elevates you by lifting you up when he's ready for you to assume the position and the possession. Then he goes on and say, and pray. Pray. Prayer is power. Praying should be a part of every believer's everyday activity. You ought to wake up in the morning praying. You ought to go through your day praying. You ought to end your day with prayer. You ought to talk to God all day long. What's important about prayer? Because prayer is powerful. Now, if you go back to the sixth chapter, you'll notice that Solomon prayed over 1,000-word prayer because it was relevant and it was necessary for what Solomon had to say to God before the people of God. But I need you to know all through the Bible, prayers don't have to be long to be strong. And when we learn to be honest with God, sincere with God, real with God, we can tell him what we want. Because the old folks say he is on the main line. Now, listen, let me give you a few examples right quick. In First Kings chapter 18, verse 36 to 37, Elijah, the great prophet, was on Mount Carmel. There were 400 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the grove, 800 of them against just one man of God. The people of God were vacillating between who they would serve. The man of God said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. If you're going to serve God, then serve God. But if you're going to serve Baal, then serve Baal." Now, here's what's interesting. He says, "But I want you to know who the real God is. And whatever God, Baal or God, who answers by fire, let him be God." And so from the 9 o'clock to the 3 o'clock hour, the prophets of Baal in the grove begin to pray, calling on Baal. In the Hebrew, the word is Baal, 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 Baal. We say Baal, but it's Baal. And they called on Baal from 9 o'clock in the morning to the 3 o'clock hour. But at 12 o'clock, Elijah said, maybe y'all ought to call a little louder. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he decided to take a little trip to Texas. Maybe he decided that he had other things better to do. Call him. Maybe he can't hear you right now. And so they called, but they did something else. They began to cut themselves and bleed on the sacrifice that they put on the altar. Why did they do that? Because they thought they were giving their God a blood transfusion, trying to infuse life in their God. But he had eyes and couldn't see, ears couldn't hear, nose and couldn't smell, mouth couldn't talk, hands couldn't help, feet and couldn't walk. And at the 3 o'clock hour, Elijah said, "It's my turn." And so he put a bullock on the altar, and he did something very interesting. He then began to dig a trench around the altar, and he put 12 stones around the altar, one stone representing every tribe of Israel. And then he poured water on the bullock, ran down the altar, ran onto the rocks, ran into that little stream or a trench around it. He did it 3 times to make sure that the sacrifice was saturated with water, making it more difficult for his God to light the fire on the sacrifice when their God didn't even wake up and answer. And here's what I need you to know. In this 18th chapter of 1 Kings, the 36th and 37th verse, you're going to discover that Elijah prayed a 63-word prayer. And in the next verse, verse 68, the Bible says, "And immediately God rained down fire."
Amen, amen.
They prayed from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
He prayed a 63-word prayer, and God rained down fire from heaven, burned up the bullock, burned up the altar, burned up the rocks, burned up all the water that was in the trenches, leaving no doubt that he was God all by himself. 2 Kings chapter 20, the prophet Isaiah was sent to tell King Hezekiah, "Get your house in order, for you shall die and not live." And so when Hezekiah heard the words of the prophet Isaiah, The Bible says he turns his head to the wall. And he prays in verse 3, a 30-word prayer. When he turned his head to the wall and began praying, the prophet Isaiah walked out of his room and was headed out into the courtyard when God summoned him and said, hold up. Go back in the house. Tell King Hezekiah, I have heard his prayers. I've seen his tears. In the sixth verse now, in the sixth verse, he says, and I've added 15 years to his life. Now, here was a man who was getting ready to die today. And he turned his face to the wall and prayed a 30-word prayer. And got 15 years added on to. I'm trying to tell you, prayer is powerful if you know how to pray. And that's why the devil don't want the saints of God to know how to pray. Because if they know how to pray, they're going to learn how to stay out of the clutches of the enemy and be a part of the perfect will of God. Listen at this. I need you to see one more example. When Jesus was walking on the water and all the disciples were in the boat and they saw him coming and they didn't know who he was, if he was a spirit, if it was really Jesus. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out on the water to thee. Now let me tell you what he did. This is the 14th chapter of Matthew here. He prayed in the 28th verse, 13 words to come out on the water. 29th verse, God, through Jesus, answered. He said what? Come. That's it. Come. The 30th verse says, the wind, the waters, the waves, all of that began to rise and blow and become boisterous. And Peter began to sink. He cut off 3 words of that 13-word prayer and prayed a 3-word prayer that saved him from drowning. And it simply said, Lord, save me. Can I tell you, when you learn how to pray, you don't have to pray all day to get a prayer through. Sometime the situation calls for a prayer that's urgent and sincere. God knows your heart. God knows the situation. And Peter had a threefold, trifold experience going on right there. He didn't have time to pray no long prayer. I've said before, if he had prayed a long prayer, he'd have been, our Father, Father God, he'd have went on down under the water. But when he realized he was going down, he said, let me cut this prayer short. Lord, save me. Now, here's why. Here's why I need you to understand prayer is important. Because when you learn how to pray, you keep the devil from doing what he wants to do to you. When you humble yourself, that means God will lift you. But when you learn how to pray, it keeps the devil from sifting you. There go that word if right in the midst of sift. S-I-F-T. You do know the devil wants to sift you, don't you? You remember Jesus telling Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. There's the word. Sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Listen. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brother. Some of us got to learn how to not be so selfish in our prayer and just pray for us and about us. Listen, when you get it together, God wants you to help get your brother and sister together, because you become an example for your brother and sister on how to get it together when you fall, when you mess up, when things aren't right. But you're going to learn that God wants you to help somebody else. And so we got lift, we have sift, but then he says, and seek my face. When you seek the face of God, God gives you a gift. G, here it is, I-F-T. What is the gift? The person, the presence, and the power of his son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's a word that implies a gift. A gift. When you seek God, God will always give you a gift. In other words, he will always bless your life for seeking him, putting him first, honoring him, opening doors for you, making ways for you, showing you that he loves you and he has what's best for you. And so every day we ought to seek the Lord and watch the gifts of God keep rolling into our lives. It begins with the Son, but it doesn't stop there. There are multiple gifts every day, benefits brand new, mercies untold. God shows us that he wants us to have his best. But then he says, turn from your wicked ways. When should I do that? Swiftly. SW, here it is. IF. T-L-Y, swiftly. You know, when we fall, God wants us to get up. He don't want us to wallow in our sin. The longer we wallow, the worse we become. The more comfortable we become with being down. God has not given us a position of being down.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.